Discovery, the hallmark of humanity.
Excuse me, do you know the way to Kansas City?
The great shaper of our destiny, the great motivator of our times.
Excuse me, do you know
now, sit back and discover amazing stories, meet interesting people, and learn remarkable facts that have shaped your hometown. This is Kansas City.
Good afternoon and welcome to This is Kansas City. My name's Brian Boger. I'm your host and I'm joined in studio with some of the most iconic and historic bourbon I'm looking at right now that dates back to 1857.
56.
1856.
One more year.
One more year. So, wow. I mean, the history behind this, I can't wait to dive into it. But before I start that, I've got to thank a couple of our sponsors. This show is brought to you by Evolve KC. What is Evolve KC? Drew is joining me today, and he knows all about it. Drew, my co-host for many, many years on several different shows.
Yes.
Tell us about Evolve KC.
Evolve KC, a 27-year tradition out of Evansville, Indiana, but now we've expanded our office here in Kansas City locally. We love our customers. If I could think of one thing that would epitomize what we do is when it's right for our customers, it's right for our company. We want to make sure that we help them to grow their business, reduce the cost to do the business, and mitigate the risk as they do business. We offer digital payments and digital marketing, digital solutions. It's a new day and age out there right now.
It's an integrated business solutions company that I can tell you, these guys all got together, 27 years ago, and they were all working in separate parts of the same industry, and they said, hey, we figured out a better way to put this stuff together, to streamline it, cut out all that red tape, save the customers money while increasing their traffic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if you are tired of paying those enormous credit card fees,
going up every year,
tell me about what the program that you guys have discovered and utilize all over town.
Yeah, we call it the Buyer's Choice Program. It puts the power back in the hands of our merchants, and it puts the power back in the hands of the consumer. The consumer doesn't understand the impact that their choices make with how they interact with our merchants with pricing. So when you are presented, you know, the end and the check, you're offered cash or a card price, and that changes the end price of what you pay, which makes sense. We do that all the time when you're at a restaurant, you order steak, it's going to cost you more than chicken.
Every time I pay a bill online?
Online, we do
I'm
the
charged.
Same thing. Oh, yeah.
I'm charged.
Totally.
Like I pay my rent, I'm charged.
Your water bill.
My water bill.
Yeah.
I'm charged $4.95.
Totally.
Sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. I'm like, okay.
Totally.
Enough of this. Go Evolve KC for more information. That's Go Evolve KC for more information. Now, we got a big show, so I'm going to briefly introduce a couple of our guests before we have to go to our first break. We're talking with Holiday Distillery. Holiday Distillery. We've got Kyle and we've got Jordan in studio. And I have six bottles of bourbon facing me right now.
That's a lot of bourbon.
I don't think I'm going to make it out of the studio today. I had plans tonight. I'm calling them off at the next break.
They're even different bottles.
I know. So briefly introduce, what is Holiday Distillery? And then we'll dive into the history and then bring everybody up when we come back from break. So give me that elevator pitch.
Yeah, so Holiday Distillery, oldest business kind of in the Kansas City area, been around since 1856. We have evolved and changed over the course of the time, but it's been in the alcohol business. So Ben Holiday was the founder in 1856. He made bourbon there for a while, and we'll explore his story, I'm sure, in more detail. Jordan knows a lot more about that than I do, but made bourbon from 1856 up until about 1985. at that point pivoted and focused on other products in general as a company. But then really 2015 came around and we really wanted to revive this bourbon history that we have. It's a rich history. The grounds are phenomenal. Everything about it is meant to produce bourbon. And so that's what we did. 2015, 16 started laying down bourbon. And then 2022 finally released it. So we have a 6-year-old product going on up to have 8-year-old that's going into a bottle now. And then just a bunch of different offerings that we have that's, you know, for the Kansas City area, but then
still
throughout the nation.
Still the same kind of recipes and everything used in 1856.
Yep, sticking
with
that tradition.
All right, on that, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we get back, we're going to dive into some of the history. You're not going to believe this company when you hear everything that it's about. We'll be right back on This is Kansas City. Welcome back to This is Kansas City. We're joined in studio with Holiday Distillery. We've got Kyle, Jordan, and Drew. Drew is...
From the back.
Drew
from the back.
Drew from the back. Drew used to be my co-host for many, many, many years, but he's too busy now.
I know.
So he's
a lot of success over to
Ball. He's a work.
There's a lot of people that need help.
There's too many people that need
Visa's
help.
Visa's ripping people off.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them. Not just Visa.
All right.
There's a lot of them out there.
All right.
Holiday Distillery, 1 McCormick Lane, Weston, Missouri. Tons of history there, people. We're going to go over all of that, but it's holidaydistillery.com. It's very easy to find. You will be able to find all of their bourbons, and when we get into the show here, and we're going to do that right now. Okay, we're going to talk. Jordan, tell me a little bit about the history.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. So we said, like Kyle said, 1856. So we've been around for a very long time. And then where that all started was it was established by a man named Ben Holiday.
And Ben Holiday went on to great fame and fortune, not just in the distillery business.
Yes.
But what did he do?
So that was actually a very small piece of what he did, was starting the distillery. He was a serial entrepreneur, so he had a lot
I
of
I see that.
Yes. But he was a transportation tycoon, if you will. So
known as the what? Stagecoach King?
Stagecoach King. So you'll see on our Ben Holiday bourbon label, in his honor, there is a stagecoach.
I see them both right here.
Yep,
stagecoach, 1856, original.
Yes. So Ben, I don't know, we might be a little biased, but we kind of feel like he's one of the greatest figures in American history that really nobody knows about.
I certainly agree. After reading this, I was shocked into realizing that I've lived here my whole life and I've never known this. I've even had McCormick on the show and I didn't know it. Yeah. You know, all they did is tell me about Prohibition and how they got through it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but this story... Stagecoach King, running a stagecoach line from Missouri to the West Coast.
Yes, so Ben was a big piece of really how the West was built, because if you think about it, those stage lines, they were moving supplies, they were moving bourbon, they were moving all kinds of different things that were needed to and build out the West. So that was a big piece of what he did.
And later, the stagecoach, which is on the bottles here of a couple of the brands. Mm-hmm. Now, the stagecoach, then, he knew that the stagecoach, I mean, how many people, they started making buggy whips, and then that kind of went out. He saw that coming, and he changed his business to Wells Fargo.
So, yeah, he kind of always knew what was coming in business. He was always looking a step ahead, and he realized that the railroad was kind of going to be the next big thing following the stage lines. So he knew he wanted to sell off his stage lines. And so, as you mentioned, he did business with a little company we know today as Wells Fargo. So if you think about the Wells Fargo logo.
Wow. Owned by Warren Buffett. Today.
One of the big sevens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty incredible to think that he owned that at one point.
Ultimately, though. That is incredible, but ultimately acquiring the Pony Express?
So, yeah, that was one of his first business ventures. He had acquired the Pony Express, and he settled in Weston just at the young age of 19, and he opened a hotel, and he established the distillery. He had
saloons, hotels, a silver mine?
He had silver and gold mines. He did it all. I don't know when he slept, but he did a lot.
In 1864, Ben Holliday was the largest individual employer in the United States.
Yes.
Is that amazing? In our Kansas City community.
Yeah, that's wild.
That is absolutely mind-blowing. And you're right. A lot of people don't know this stuff. And that's what I'm going to get when I go on the tour. I guarantee you that. Because mm-hmm. I'm taking the tour. But it was just, it's kind of amazing that the transformation of an entrepreneur like that could survive. I mean, all of his businesses, I mean, the Pony Express became the Postal Service. Wells Fargo is now one of the big sevens. And the distillery is still mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Amazing history. I love it. I just think that the history part of the whole thing is just... it's hard to recognize, and it's hard to realize that we had that here.
It really is, and I think that's what makes our bourbon so special, too, is how authentic it is and how historical it is. And yeah, he left a really good mash bill for Kyle to make some really good bourbon.
Now, let's go all the way back further than that. Let's go all the way back to 1804, okay? So we're back way, way back before he got involved in this. You had a couple of explorers, right? There was a couple of explorers that people know called...
Lewis and Clark.
Yes, I think people know Lewis and Clark. When they were walking, yes, no, we did not. They did not take horses. They didn't take stagecoaches because they were going through heavy, heavy terrain and they had to walk it. Well, they ended walking through, they, not ended, but while walking on their trip, they passed through Weston, and they saw a
limestone spring, yes.
A limestone spring.
Mm-hmm. So they charted that in their journals, and you'll see that today when you come on the distillery tour. We have a stop there for the exact location that they had charted on their journey, so that's pretty neat. So we date back even further.
Is it still... going, the limestone spring.
It is. Okay. And that's what we use today to make the bourbon.
Really?
Yeah.
And that makes bourbon better because, Kyle, kick it in.
Yeah. I mean, without...
This is the bourbon guy here.
Exactly. Without that limestone spring water, you know, you think about it, we would not have been founded as a facility. So Ben and David Holliday, when they came up here, David was the brother. I like to always mention him because he ran the distillery while Ben was out there doing all the other things. So I have the appreciation for the guy making the whiskey during that time. But they came from Kentucky, and they knew that limestone spring water was important to make bourbon. It was important back then because that was your source of good, clean water. And in order to make bourbon, you need that. You need to cook with water and mash in your grains, and you need to be able to produce that. Today, you could make bourbon in different settings. You can make it in the city. You can make it in other locations. But that limestone spring water, it's still what we use. It's what, you know, your best bourbon producers in the world down in Kentucky do. And it's, you do that for a reason. That limestone really provides those micronutrients that help the yeast really thrive in fermentation and produce the flavor profile that you're looking for. So, yeah, it's fascinating to think that back in the 1800s, people kind of they started making that, and we continue to do with that tradition today with that limestone spring water. But it's, you know, that history, it's real. I think when you walk on site, you can just feel it.
I can't wait to take the tour. Yeah. I really can't. And but I gotta ask you, my next question is gonna be, what's the difference between bourbon and whiskey? But before I get to that, is people think that bourbon comes from Kentucky. They just think that.
Yeah.
When they think Wild Turkey, when they think all these, it comes from Kentucky. Is in Kentucky, do they use limestone springs?
Most do.
Okay.
Some may not, but a lot are going to be using it. Yeah. And that kind of, to that point, that is a common misconception about where bourbon can be made. I hear that all the time. So, you know, I'm master distiller producing bourbon, and I go to a bar and sit next to people, and they're like, oh, you mean you're actually making whiskey? I'm like, no, I think I know what I'm doing. It's bourbon. But you know, went on a podcast recently, and Fred Minnick, he's a historian, a bourbon historian. There are such things. He's written several books on the topic, but he talked about how, you know, back in the 1960s, the legislature, U.S. legislature, was trying to make that a Kentucky designation. But there was people fighting against that, including people from Missouri and Tennessee, because they were producing enough bourbon. We would have been that producer from Missouri. And so we had a part of that as well. So, you know, we helped ruin Kentucky's claim to being a producer only of bourbon.
So, I mean, I think we get that idea, right, from France, where they have the wines and there's regions and they're named yep. after the regions of the grapes. And but so then what is bourbon named after then if it's not regionally?
The bourbon name, I'm not sure if there's ever been a firm answer on that. You yeah. can say Bourbon, Bourbon County. It could be Bourbon Street. It could be various things. I've heard, again, Fred
so
Minnick's
not,
book
so it's not a
talks about that.
Name.
It's not a location. No,
okay, so,
it's
so how does it defined?
Yeah, so bourbon itself, it has to be a product of the United States. So that's where kind of we helped come into play with that. So it has to be made in these great 50 states, and then beyond that, there's a handful of different designations that we have to do. So we got to use at least 51% corn as the primary component of our mash bill. So that's your recipe. So at least 51% corn. It has to be distilled under 160 proof.
Well, we're going to go through the steps, but what is the difference between whiskey and bourbon?
So bourbon is a whiskey, but not every whiskey will classify as a bourbon. So obviously your Scotch or Irish whiskeys cannot be called bourbon. They're made in a different place.
Okay, so clarify this. So you're in the industry. Scotch
yep.
has to come from Scotland.
Correct. Yeah.
Bourbon has to come from the United States.
From the United States. There's
okay.
countries of identity.
Champagne has to come yep. from France.
Exactly.
Okay.
So bourbon, it has to be from the United States.
So it is locationally, but not Kentucky.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct.
That was argued legislatively, is what you're saying.
Correct.
When politics gets involved, they mess everything up.
Oh, man.
In this case, in this case, they actually helped. It was back in the 60s. I don't know. Maybe they got, a moment of clarity.
Yeah.
But it helped us and others, you know, who make bourbon outside of Kentucky. It helped us to be able to continue to do so because they wanted to limit it to just Kentucky and not the entirety of the United States.
So the U.S. won the day there.
The U.S. won the day there, yeah. Yeah. So it was, so to make bourbon, it has to be made here. And it has strict classifications to be called a bourbon. There's numerous types, but...
Let's go through the four steps.
Yeah.
The first step is mash.
Yep.
What does that mean? Now, I've got the wording here, but what does mash mean?
Yeah, so mashing is just basically taking your grains, your mash bill, and your recipe, and putting them into that limestone spring water. And so when we mash in our grains, we're using our mash bill, is what the term is. 73% corn, 15% rye, 12% malted barley. That was what Ben Holliday would have originally used. And so that was... That was dating back to that 1856 original mash bill.
Do you still have the original recipe?
Yeah, do you have
we
that?
Have the original ledger. I've never actually opened it. I'm terrified of, like, ripping
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because those papers will, you know, they'll disintegrate after a long time.
So it's
time.
Just been sitting there.
Yeah.
Does it kill you not to open it?
I have other records. I have the government records from throughout the years, so I see those, but not his original ledger. So, yeah. It would be nice for me to dig through, but again, I'll probably...
Oh, they'll come up with technology where they'll be able to x-ray it and find out everything that's in it without destroying it. But okay, so the mash, now it has to be 51% corn to be considered a bourbon.
Correct.
You are at 73%.
73%, yeah.
Which was the original recipe in 1856.
Correct, yep.
Oh.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Now, step two... is aging.
Yep.
What does aging, what does that mean?
Yeah, so
speak to me as you would a golden retriever.
So when we go through the process, we just cook those corn, the grains, the corn, rye, and malted barley. We then ferment that, and we'll send it through a distillation column. Off of that distillation column, we will distill to, as a requirement, under 160. For us, it's 120 proof, 60% ABV, off of that, and then go into a second distillation style called a doubler. So you double it up, you distill again, basically, more exposure to copper. And off of that, it's 130 proof. Now, once you have that liquid, whatever proof point you have under 160.
Proof is the third step.
Yep. So once you have that, it goes into a barrel, and that barrel is new charred oak barrel, and it has to enter that barrel. New charred oak barrel.
New charred oak.
A barrel, for us, we use 53 gallons, and it's out of oak made in Lebanon, Missouri, the barrel is made in Lebanon, Missouri, out of Missouri oak. But it has to be that new charred oak barrel for bourbon, and it has to go into that barrel under 125 proof. And so there's all these different
under
levels,
125
under
proof.
125.
So it, your proof, explain this to me real fast. Your proof to alcohol.
Yep.
Proof is double the alcohol content. If you
correct.
See something that's 30% alcohol,
correct.
It's a 60 proof.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I tend to speak in proof points often, but yeah, that is the what it means. Yeah, so it's half the or double the alcohol percent. But yeah, so you have to go into that new charred oak barrel under 125 proof, and then from there there's all sorts of, again, weird, it's government defined, so there's plenty of extra steps that you can or cannot or must not follow, or various things that you have there, but it has to age in that barrel. Now, to be called a straight bourbon, it has to age at least 2 years. To be called bottled and bond, which we have a product of, it has to be at least 4 years in that barrel. And then beyond that, it's kind of all additional things, marketing type or taste driven or various things. But that barrel and that aging really changes and produces a flavorful bourbon.
Does it raise the proof?
It can, depending on where you're at in the last location that it sits, the rickhouse. So if you've ever heard of a rickhouse before.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. So
have
it's,
you, Drew?
No.
Yeah, so rickhouse, it's a term, barrel warehouse, whatever you want to call it, but it's a 7-story building we have on site. We've got two of them. A 7-story building, not heated, not cooled, just has a bunch of windows. We open and close those. And the barrels go there to rest. And so they will sit there laying on their side in this building. And in this building, it's kind of a magical place for bourbon. It really changes the flavor profile. So when you go into this first floor, it's cool and humid year-round. And the top floors are hot and dry. And so when you go throughout this, you'll see a 30-degree temperature increase as you go up in the top of the rickhouse.
Really?
And a 20% humidity difference. So it gets drier as you go. It changes how the bourbon ages. It's an extremely critical part to our process, to bourbon in general. And without it, I don't think we'd be making the style of bourbon that we are doing. And there's a something on our label, as we talk about the package later, but something that talks about that. You know, each floor has its own taste profile. Each
so
floor
do you
is
move
different.
The barrels
we do
or?
Not.
Oh.
Once
so
they
each
go,
one is one of these bottles?
They have various tweaks on it, yeah. And so when you put a barrel in its location, if it's on the third floor, it's staying on the third floor for its entirety of its life. We won't move it until we come to pull that out and dump it to bottle it. And so it's really embracing the variability that comes with this building. To me, visiting our site, there's obviously the history. You feel that, and that's an extremely important part of what we're doing. But then the second step is that rickhouse. And, I think in this area, you won't see those. If you drive through Kentucky, obviously you will. But for us to have one there just in Weston, it's important. It's important to what we're doing, and it's something that's unlike anywhere else in this area that you can experience.
So back when they started making bourbon and all of that, was it actually just Rick's house?
They
had a lot of stories and everything, and they stuck with it.
Very rarely
sure.
sober.
Yeah.
Oh,
very rarely
Rick
sober.
He was never.
No.
Never sober.
He couldn't pronounce his own name.
He had no idea. Poor Rick. Yeah. Well, just hearing that description of how the process is made, I felt so confused that now it was like I was talking to Drew about technology.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't know how to download this app. He's like, Brian. Jeez.
It's called Spotify, Brian.
I'm like, Okay, so yeah. Do that for me. I kept losing my passwords. He finally bought me a book where I had to write them down.
Yes,
and
papers.
Now I've got the book, mm-hmm. and I just look up, oh, that's the password to that. It works.
We went on a journey there. I don't know if we're ever going to come back.
Probably not.
Yeah. So how old is your Rick house?
So our oldest one dates back to the 1940s, so post-Prohibition.
Wow.
And then we have another one that's from 1950s, and then we're constructing a third one that is going up right now. And so,
and they're each seven stories?
Seven stories, yeah. So it's a, you know, total we can store
that's
about
wild.
20, just under 21,000 barrels on site.
Oh, wow.
Barrels of bourbon. So.
Is it specially designed building that way, like with the glass and everything, specially designed to have the floor levels change in temperature?
Yeah, so it's a structure that, you know, has kind of dated back to in the bourbon industry, the 1890s. And so it was designed this way kind of over time and just kind of has evolved. And for us, that's what we've had and that's what we've used on site. And so
does everyone else, right?
Yeah. Everyone has a slight tweak on it, slightly different overall design. But
I don't know why I always thought it would be in caves.
Yeah.
I thought that too.
That's not real. They aren't.
Not generally. Now, there are applications of caves that you can use.
I thought they had a whole different idea.
I did too.
So they're always in these houses.
Not always. There's a million different ways that you can produce and store bourbon. But
that's
general,
the way you guys have done it for all these years.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we will find out more about Holiday Distillery with Kyle, Jordan, and Drew. Because we're tasting some of this, the bourbon, not whiskey.
Right.
Bourbon. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to This is Kansas City. We're joined in studio with Kyle Jordan, and Drew's joining me today, the official critic for the bourbon we have in studio right now with Holiday Distillery. They're 1 McCormick Lane, Weston, Missouri. They've been around forever, and I'll tell you, you can find out all the information at holidaydistillery.com, and you can see all of their whiskey. Are you able to order these online and get these bottles shipped? I don't know if they do that or not.
We legally, there's all sorts of requirements of what
you
we can do.
Yeah, you
can't even
imagine. There's so much fun in that realm, but there are a couple online retailers that will have it.
But can you get this at liquor stores?
It should be in liquor stores, you know, all throughout the metro.
Okay.
Find your favorite liquor store, and if they don't have it, you know, they should be able to get it, and it should be readily
and
available.
And can I
here.
Go up to Weston and pick up bottles if I want?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. Just don't tell them what you do with it after you leave there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we...
I mean, I want
because you're
couple.
Definitely not crossing state line after you buy it.
It's okay if you do, as long as they're closed, right?
No, I believe it's not okay.
I think that you can't. I mean,
I think you can.
Can you transport across straight lines?
Yeah.
As long as you're not distributing, I think you should be fine. I think
from
it's
a consumer, we're okay.
Consumer standpoint, you should be fine. Yeah.
It used to be that way with even beer. I
remember because Gomer's was on the other side
state line,
and then they would avoid
only
the
thing
cop.
Open during the Chiefs game.
Yeah, they'd avoid the cop. Gomer would tell you, he'd be like, "Hey, he's up there on the
he's up there." So take 103rd all the way.
It's
there.
A real thing. I was a kid, you know.
Yeah,
but,
Is
Gomer still with us?
Huh?
Is Gomer still with us?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, God bless Gomer.
But so. At break, what we did is we opened a bottle. Drew, what are you looking at right now?
Well, I like the weeded.
Okay,
typically.
So explain that bottle, weeded bourbon.
This is
bourbon.
The soft red wheat. I'm just reading the label here.
Yep.
Bottled in bond, which is a legal term, right?
It is, correct. Yeah, so there's a lot of things to unpack on this. But
government
is
very involved.
Government has
in
a lot
industry.
Of things. They like tax money, and we provide a lot of that.
Well,
and so, yeah, they check a lot of that, right?
They're protecting our bourbon, right?
Exactly.
Don't you pay the tax money when you make the barrel?
Thankfully, no. We pay it once it's bottled. So it's a kind of good segue into bottled in bond. So we store our property, the barrels, in bond on our property. And so once we fill these barrels, they...
Like an insurance bond? Like they're bonded?
I don't know if it used to mean that. Now it's the bond is the bonded premise of our TTB, our requirement for legal purposes. But
got it.
Yeah, so we will store that in bond up to 4 years. You know, bottled in bond was a first form of consumer protection in the U.S. before the FDA, 1897. And it was to make sure that people wouldn't die drinking bourbon. And
people would go blind. People would go blind
and
be stuff, right?
tainted with methanol or use tobacco spit to color it. There'd be all sorts of crazy things going on. It was,
yeah, oh, for sure.
It was unsafe drinking
yeah,
bourbon
teeth
in the
were optional
1890s.
Back in that day.
Yeah.
Have you seen all the new distillery stuff you can get from China and stuff? Like Temu selling distillery stills for the consumer? Does that terrify you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know people are making that stuff.
Yeah, it can be extremely dangerous enterprise.
Just take some ethanol, no problem.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yep.
Blind.
Yeah. So the Bottled and Bond Act
it's crazy.
Protected consumers back in the day, and it was basically saying it had to be made by one location, had to be aged at least 4 years at that location, and it had to be bottled at exactly 100 proof. And so that's why we bottle at 100 proof. We took that 4 years and took it the additional couple years for flavor profile. We wanted to go to 6 years, so our youngest bottle is 6 years. But both of our core lineup,
is that one?
Now, not only that.
That's one barrel bourbon, so we can talk about that.
No, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is that going to disappear later?
Yes, it is.
So
our core lineup is bottled and bond, so it's that requirement. 100 proof, at least 4 years old, we age 6 years. Then we have
new
charred oak barrels. Yeah. Yeah, char 3 barrels coming from Lebanon, Missouri. Then you have these red labels for us that are rickhouse proof. It's basically the proof point that comes from the rickhouse. It's not standardized, not added any water at all. It is the full proof, full flavor of the bourbon that we normally have.
I mean, what I just tasted, Brian, mm-hmm. they distilled in February of 2018.
Yep.
If you can think about how long that's been.
And that's been sitting in the rickhouse.
Right. Yeah,
sitting
and
in
it
a
was bottled eventually in November of 2024.
Yeah. So with each of these, we
floors 4 and 5.
4 and 5. We have two mash bills that
Wild.
I kind of talked about earlier. 73% corn, 15% rye, 12% malted barley. That's our 1856 original mash bill. That is our history. Everything that we have done in our past was always that mash bill. Mick Harris, our president, he likes weeded bourbon, and I like keeping my job, so we created a weeded bourbon.
No comment on whether you like it.
Yeah, no. So that's what we just tasted was our weeded recipe.
And really good,
so
by the way.
What we do is we take the
same... You do
same...
a good job for your boss.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, hopefully he's listening. But we take that same recipe, and it you sub in that 15% wheat for 15% rye, and that's all we do that's different. And so we tried our historic style of making bourbon just with wheat in it today. But when we came about bringing this back, you know, we did the bottled and bond piece because that says we made it. There's, in the bourbon world, not everybody makes all of the products that they bottle of their own, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think the real bourbon nerds kind of were getting tired of that. And so Bottled and Bond stands out as a way to tell the story that you produced it.
Yeah, most people don't realize that a lot of times it's just marketing.
Yeah.
You've just got a cool, fancy bottle, but
there can be
at the end of the day, it's coming out of Kentucky, and they bottle huge amounts,
yeah.
right?
Like, yeah. Kentucky, Indiana, Tennessee, you can source from any of those locations. And again, there's nothing wrong with it, and we know plenty of people doing it correctly. And it's just... we were going about it the difficult way of actually producing everything ourselves.
Which gives you your unique flavor.
It gives you a unique flavor, and yeah. we wanted to tell that. So Bottled and Bond was a part of that. And then it was, how can we fully tell our story to these bourbon nerds who know what that rickhouse means and what the flavor profile is? And so I saw you looking at the side chart. It talks about every time we bottle, we tell where these barrels came from for each bottling. And so this one came from Rickhouse B, floors 4 and 5. And as you mentioned, you looked through when it was distilled. We really want to provide full transparency because I think that's something that you consumers now want to see in almost every aspect of life. But especially bourbon, there's just not enough of that. People won't tell you the mash bill. People won't tell you what barrel they're using. We'll tell you everything. We'll tell you any question that you ever have about our product. We will tell you that. And so that is kind of the lead in to what we just tried, yeah, that soft red wheat bottled and bond 6-year-old bourbon from November of last
year. Now, which one of these is the original? What am I going to look for in the store?
Yeah,
oh,
so
not original, that one.
If
not
you, original mash.
If you want to try our original mash, that's that. It's going to say Ben Holiday at the top, and it's going to have a stagecoach on it.
Right here.
It will state 1856 original. That is all about the history. And we have variations of that depending on proof points. We have what we call one barrel bourbon. Others will call it a single barrel, but for us, Ben Holiday was hauling one barrel of bourbon at a time out west on his stagecoaches. And so we call our single barrels one barrel bourbon, but it's just that single barrel that is highlighting a specific location from that rickhouse, specific proof points. The red label and, you know, the one barrel bourbon, those will be higher proof points overall. But yeah, our original mash bill is always going to have that stagecoach on it. Soft red wheat, there's a separate image that's still from our history. It's a government agent watching us load barrels up from the past, but that's where it's a red truck. And so you'll see our soft red wheat has that red truck as the image on it.
That's so incredible.
Yeah, that is. And it, look, if I want to find out more about this, and I'm so interested to see all of the history here and all of that, you guys offer real Missouri bourbon tours.
Correct.
Tell me about the tours.
Tours run Thursday through Sunday.
Yes. Okay.
You can make reservations on the website. Very easy. HolidayDistillery.com. We stay pretty busy Monday through Wednesday with, private tours and distributor groups and different things. But, yeah, come on in. We're open to the public.
You get to explore 160 years of history right there when you're taking the real Missouri bourbon tour, and you're going to be amazed, because I don't think I can see the limestone spring.
Yes.
If I go on the tour.
Yeah.
You can see it all.
You can see the limestone spring. You can dip your finger
discovered in, by Lewis and Clark
discovered
in 1804.
Yep. You can dip your finger in the mash that you talked about earlier. You can try the white dog off the distillation column. Check out the barrel warehouse, the rickhouse.
What was that phrase? You can try the what? White dog?
White dog. White dog, moonshine, whatever you want to call the unaged distillate. So you can try it, sample it off the still to see what it tastes like before it goes into a barrel.
Moonshine.
What would you say is the difference?
Moonshine will make you blind.
No, I don't think he's
It actually won't if it's properly made. The white dog is just unaged, so it's the flavor profile.
No oak, no char.
No oak, no char, no, yeah.
It's the oak then what gives it the color?
Correct. Yep. The oak gives
the
color with the bourbon.
Gives it
yep.
the color. So if you didn't put it in the oak, it wouldn't come out that color and
correct.
It wouldn't be bourbon.
Correct. You can see that's why
it would
white
just
dog
be moonshine.
It's clear moonshine.
Yeah. I got it now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
And the oak barrel significantly changes the flavor.
It does, yeah. That is probably, the most transformation happens from that. You can change mash bill, yeast, different things, but aging is the biggest transformation.
And if I get to go on the tour, then I step into a still house that dates back to the mid-1800s?
Yep, yeah. What, 18-inch thick limestone walls surrounding the distillate or the still house? It literally, everywhere you go, you can see incredible history.
That just, I'm so amazed to learn the history and stuff, because I'm a huge history buff, and I love it. I love to learn the history that we have here in our Kansas City community. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will close out the show, follow up with a couple of other things. I want to talk about the Welcome Center when we get back. So we'll be right back after these quick messages on This is Kansas City. HolidayDistillery.com.
Incredibly fascinating.
Lewis and Clark
walked through
and discovered the limestone?
No idea.
Spring. Well, Missouri is full of limestone. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So we've got plenty of limestone. And that limestone starts where? Like, almost at like Worlds of Fun, right? And goes all the way up to Weston?
That,
it's all over?
That shelf goes to Texas.
Yeah. Oh, it does?
Yeah, it's huge.
Okay, all right.
It's huge.
Okay.
But the spring's pretty significant.
It is.
And still today.
Still today.
Bottling
still
with
today.
That spring today.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it's filtered really well, and then like you said, the spring will add all the minerals through the limestone that gives your bourbon that kind of flavor.
Yeah.
Okay, so the tours last approximately 90 minutes. And it includes a bourbon tasting, so you can do that. Children under 4 are free. Don't give your children.
That is an interesting fact. I just want to say.
Well, they love history.
So that means your 5-year-old The, you don't give them the bourbon tasting, do you?
Oh, well, five, you know, you're
five.
Up there.
You're ready. Just kidding. We're just kidding.
Not yeah. under four.
We're just kidding.
No, we no. would never do that. No. No, no. Although they do that in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than a babysitter.
But yes, it is.
They're just having whiskey, not bourbon.
That's so. Right.
Hey!
Whiskey, bourbon, and maybe some scotch. No, not, yeah. not bourbon, though.
Yep.
Okay. What's the Welcome Center? When did it open? And tell me about it.
So the Welcome Center is the starting point for our tours. So it's on the public side, I guess you would call it, of the gate of the distillery. So before you come in, it's a beautiful brick house up on the left. When you come down to the lane, you can check in there for your tours, but you can also just come in and get a cocktail, get a flight if there's different bourbons you want to try. You can shop. It's a beautiful space. We do live music on the weekends, and yeah.
I saw all the live, I mean, all the, you do the live music and everything, but then you have a seasonal cocktail menu, mm-hmm. and that seasonal cocktail menu changes, you know, based on the seasons, but some of these are really, really, some of these things, I mean, I don't know, I mean, there's a lot of, so many different drinks that you have, and they're not just bourbon though, right?
Yeah, correct.
All kinds of different yeah. drinks.
They'll be throughout our whole portfolio of products that we have as a company. Be remiss to say Five Farms Irish Cream. If you have never heard of that, try it out as well. It's
what's it called?
Five Farms Irish Cream.
Okay.
The best Irish cream in history. Coming
in
from
history.
In history. Coming from five family-owned farms in County Cork, Ireland. Farm to bottle in, what is it, 48 hours or something. Yep. I make bourbon. I drink Irish cream. But it's one of our products. Everything we're trying to do is top-notch, high-end, premium stuff. So you can try that among other products. The seasonal cocktail, it matters. You know, I drink the bourbon neat, but not everybody does. And so we recognize that, and we want people to drink bourbon how they want to have it. Or if you don't like that, my wife hates bourbon, has only tried the stuff I've made like twice, but she always finds something
like
there that
her,
she enjoys.
Though.
I like her still, yeah. Okay. yeah it still works
that's
out.
That's okay. It works out.
But yeah, you know, so
she has at least good taste in men. You assume?
Absolutely, yeah. yeah I assume.
Not
but,
in alcohol,
but
yeah.
bad taste in liquor. But
yeah,
good taste
that,
in
exactly.
Men.
But you know, we want to make sure everyone has something that they can try up there, and then we'll try to do special bottle releases, things that you can't get out in the market.
Do you ever
there.
Have lost? Casks, I think they're called, or lost.
We have not really.
What
we
is
had,
that?
Well, you know, it happens every once in a while, right?
Yeah, when places buy products or buy a distillery that had been shut down or whatever, there was barrels aging or some, you know, so there might be stuff like that. We have not, because we've owned the property for
yeah,
so long, so we knew what was in there.
And
what
it's tracked
wasn't in
by
there.
The government.
Yeah, it's tracked
so they're
by the
pretty
government.
Sure you
exactly.
don't lose one.
If
yep.
they haven't found something since 1856, they're probably not going to.
Right.
Exactly.
The
yeah.
Welcome Center is open Wednesday through Sunday. If you go down there, that's where the tour starts. You can also try some of these seasonal cocktails, things like that.
They have different kinds of old-fashioned.
Four different kinds.
Yep.
Well, I don't even know what the difference would be.
What is the difference?
Primarily will be your bitters and which bitter is used in it, although you can use different syrups as well, or different simple syrups or sugar types.
But
so.
Even through the years, it's changed.
Yeah, yeah. And
1856 old-fashioned to 1864.
What would be the main difference of, like, the 1856 versus today? Just go that.
In general, the old-fashioned has primarily stayed the same. It's just, it's truly, when you do an old-fashioned, it's a sugar, bitters, and bourbon, and then ice. And it's as simple as that. And the bitters portion changes.
That's what changes.
So you can have different flavors of bitters, different things like that. And so that's a lot of what we do. We'll play around with that. It's a subtle taste that you'll notice as a difference.
Basically, your hours are 1 to 4, right? On Saturday through, I mean, sorry, Wednesday through Sunday, right?
Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 4. Wednesday through Friday, and then we're about to switch over to our summer hours. So we'll be open a little later until 5 on Friday.
All right.
When
good
in doubt, check out the website. That'll keep the updated hours at holidaydistillery.com.
Holidaydistillery.com. Okay, and the events are all on there too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have live music out there or whatever, you're going to post all that, and you're going to have – live music and yard games and food trucks and a lot more, right? On a lot of those
when
things.
When does that start?
The events?
Yeah.
When does that start?
It just varies. You'll have to check the website. What you'll also find, too, is the distillery exclusive tab. So that'll show you what we're currently selling, what we have available that you can't find elsewhere.
There you go.
So tomorrow, for example, we're dropping one of Kyle's holiday soft red wheat one barrels that will be available tomorrow.
Weeded.
So, yeah, you got to keep tabs on that tab to see what's
Kyle's favorite, he said.
All right, give me this real briefly. We've got about 30 seconds left. Tell me if I'm interested in hosting an event there at Holiday Distillery, can I do that?
You can. We have a beautiful event space available for rent. We host groups small to large, so all different sizes and opportunities.
That sounds wonderful. The event, it's in Warehouse E.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's the event space that I can go down there and tour. I really love the show, and I want to thank you for coming in. Kyle, Jordan, Drew, thank you so much for coming in.
Great hosting. Thank you
so much for all of the bourbon we have here. I'm not leaving studio till tomorrow morning.
Uh-oh.
So enjoy your evening. I know I will. And we will be back on Monday. This is Kansas City. Well, street and vine.